psychologist James Dobson of Focus on the Family reports seeing a sign on a convent in Southern California reading, "Absolutely no trespassing. Violators will be prosecuted to the full extent of the law." Signed, "The Sisters of Mercy." Doesn't sound like those Sisters of Mercy are very merciful. However, note that their convent was in Southern California. California. I heard an old joke in seminary when the moderator of the Presbyterian Church in the United States made his annual visit to the Princeton Theological Seminary and elected position the moderator of the General Assembly is the supreme leader of the various Presbyterian denominations, usually for a 1 or a 2 year term. The PCUS denomination no longer exists, but it still did in 1980 or 81. Anyway, in his sermon to the packed chapel, he told how one day God decided that America needed a little disciplining. He took hold of the United States, turned it on its end with the left coast at the bottom, gave the whole country a good shake, and everything that was loose fell into California. But folks, all that was loose didn't stay in California. The looseness, the unbound, the undisciplined found ways to claw their way back into the rest of the country. Fast forward these last 4 decades, and we see the unbridled passions of undisciplined persons unleashed upon anything and everything that is in any way ordered, disciplined, bridled, and controlled. In other words, anything that is under or follows laws. Since all authority everywhere comes from one source, the creator of all things, the king of the universe, all laws derive their power from the power of God. Governments derive their authority from God through the people he has delegated his authority and sovereignty to. In the beginning, God delegated his authority over the things of earth to Adam, the man God made in God's own image. We know how royally Adam messed that up. In his one act of rebellion against God's simple, single prohibition about that one solitary tree in the center of Eden, Adam lost his authority over the earth to Satan. Governments, societies, and civilizations are supposed to reflect God's perfect justice. Few doubt that every human government falls exceedingly far from God's standard. It's no wonder, since Satan tries his best to influence and infect as many leaders as possible. Some human governments purposely set themselves up in ways anathema to the ways of God. They often conceal their true intentions with euphemistic terminology that obfuscates and twists words to cause the people they govern to support leaders and policies that ultimately bring great harm to themselves, just like today. Other governments make some effort to comport themselves to the standards of ethics and morality in God's word. Such especially is our own country. We were founded as a Christian nation, explicitly, no doubt about it. But so secular and pagan has so much of America become that they rewrite history so to claim that we were never a Christian nation. And to the extent we were, it was very bad. Because, as you all know by now, Christians are very bad people. They are religious fundamentalists who ignorantly, tenaciously cling to their guns, Bibles, and their bigoted, racist xenophobia as if their lives depend on it. For far too long, they had somehow managed to hold on to positions of power and privilege in this nation, suppressing and oppressing everyone else who was not like them. They enslaved millions of races and creeds not their own, and criminalized those whose lifestyles and behaviors broke their obnoxious, patronizing, and hypocritical standards of propriety, decorum, and respectability. Only in recent years have the mercilessly exploited and persecuted masses managed to rise up and throw off much of the vicious and cruel yoke that evil Christians had chained them to. Final victory over their oppressors is seemingly within reach. The despised book of the Christians and the Jews is finally being burned. What a relief. The oppressors are finally loosing the so-called orderly social structures and institutions, and they are going up in flames amid the screams of delicious, devilish delight. Does any of that shock you? It shouldn't. Because as the Bible has clearly prophesied, the loudest voices in America having been calling good evil and evil good for quite some time now. Isaiah was also led to prophesy back in chapter 5, verses 20 through 23, what sorrow for those who say that evil is good and good is evil, that dark is light and light is dark, that bitter is sweet and sweet is bitter. What sorrow for those who are wise in their own eyes and think themselves so clever. What sorrow for those who are heroes at drinking wine and boast about all the alcohol they can hold. They take bribes to let the wicked go free, and they punish the innocent. Does this not describe America to a T today? God promises that those who say blasphemous things against him will be sorry. Is not New York City in a sad state? What about Los Angeles and San Francisco, which now reek of urine and excrement, where the wealthy and middle classes who can are moving out in droves? So what does Isaiah say in chapter 51, as we read? God begins addressing those who seek him. Listen to God's words again in verses 1 and 2. Listen to me, all who hope for deliverance, all who seek the Lord. Consider the rock from which you were cut, the quarry from which you were mined. Yes, think about Abraham, your ancestor, and Sarah, who gave birth to your nation. Abraham was only one man when I called him, but when I blessed him, he became a great nation. So when God begins blessing us who seek God, be encouraged, because as the one man Abraham became a great nation, so too shall we become greater than our wildest imaginings in the kingdom of God. Look now at verses 4 and 5. Listen to me, my people. Hear me, America, for my law will be proclaimed, and my justice will become a light to the nations. My mercy and justice are coming soon. My salvation is on the way. My strong arm will bring justice to the nations. You notice I purposely inserted America where it originally said Israel. But it is accurate to do so. For as the revelation of history given to Messianic Rabbi Jonathan Cahn of New Jersey reveals, America is both a new Israel and a second Israel, truly the grafted in people of God, Gentiles and Jews grafted into God's chosen olive tree, the one new man. Let me remind you that until just recently, more Jews lived in America than anywhere else in the world, including the state of Israel itself. For decades, the most Jewish city in the world was New York City. It should be obvious that America and modern-day Israel are joined at the hip, as it were. As such, these promises belong as much to us as they do to the original Jews. But so do the judgments. If there ever was a time to study history and learn from it, the northern kingdom of Israel fell in 722 BC to the Assyrians, and those Jews were gradually dispersed to the four corners of the earth. Then just over 2.5 centuries later, in 586 BC, the southern kingdom of Judah fell to the Babylonians. And so far, we, America, have been following in their footsteps to a T. God is desperately shaking us to get our attention so that, unlike Israel and Judah, we return to God. We have to turn back to Him. Otherwise, the prophesied destruction that was spoken of several weeks ago, given to Pastor Dana Coverstone, will have to come to pass. Coverstone, recall, saw the White House vacant, whole cities burning, with peacekeeping troops of the UN backed up by soldiers from China and Russia patrolling the streets of Washington, D.C. Frankly, we truly deserve such a fate. For to whom much is given, much will be required, Luke 12:48. From what heights we have fallen. Recall the famous observation of the French political scientist, historian, and diplomat Alexis de Tocqueville. I sought for the greatness and genius of America in her commodious harbors and her ample rivers, and it was not there. In her fertile fields and boundless forests, and it was not there. In her rich mines and her vast world commerce, and it was not there. In her democratic Congress and her matchless constitution, and it was not there. Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits aflame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because she is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, she will cease to be great. How long has it been since most pulpits were aflame with righteousness? Instead of feel-good, cheap grace, and bogus mercy unlimited. If we will once again truly return to God during His prescribed season of repentance, His mercy will come to us, and justice to those for whom nothing else is possible. As Father God declares, my salvation is on the way. Is that not all we need hope for? So be not afraid. As bleak as things may look, just do your part as a living sacrifice to God, for you and I are each parts of the one body of Christ. We all belong to each other, and all the powers of hell will not conquer us together. Let us pray. Father God, our debt to you as this nation of America is truly incalculable. But we thank you anyways for what you have blessed us with in our history and for the future that you have promised that is so great for us if we but seek your face, repent, and turn from our wicked ways. So help us as individual believers as part of your one body of Christ to do that on behalf of all those who won't or can't. And so we pray in the name of Jesus for your sake. Amen.